The following programming is sponsored by BLS Productions. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
This week has been a little crazy. Sit back and get your recap of what happened and what is happening in sports, entertainment, movies, TV, politics, technology, and current events. You can count on getting a dose of comedy, great guests, fun, the best talk around, and even more outrageous fun. That's why we love those two guys. Fun, fascinating, and real. We are live with the Brian and Lee Show. So unbelievable, we could not make this stuff up, even if we tried.
And it's great to be back here on another Friday morning here in the Delaware Valley. I'm Brian.
I'm Lee.
And this is the Brian and Lee Show coming at you on WWDB 860 AM. And man, oh man, that was a stinker on Monday night.
It was. It was terrible. It was like watching a game from last year.
It was like that, absolutely.
Yeah. It was just a continuation of them stinking up the field. And I guess what the problem is for me is they could have won that game.
Of course they could. The Eagles could have won that game.
And should have won it.
And should have won it.
Because the Falcons aren't that good of a team.
No, of course not. They will give up a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl, so there's no reason why we can't beat them.
Yeah, I mean, but the defense didn't show up.
What defense?
Right. No pressure. No pressure on
We got one sack on Drew Brees.
Not Drew Brees.
Not Drew Brees? Who was it?
No, not Drew Brees. It's a new
Kirk Cousins. Yeah. Okay. So many names being thrown around here in the NFL. Kirk Cousins, Drew Brees.
Thank you, Colin.
Patrick Mahomes.
We have Colin behind the working behind the bulletproof glass.
Yep.
Engineering the program today.
How are you? And of course, correcting my mistakes. How you doing?
Doing great, guys. Glad to be filling in.
Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy the game?
I enjoyed parts of it.
Yeah.
But definitely not the last part.
No, it was tough.
I also didn't like that first drive where they decided to not guaranteed, but 99.999999% points and take the field goal. And instead they went for the first down, trying to get the touchdown.
Yeah. That was a mistake. Saquon Barkley dropping the ball.
Oh, yeah, he forgot to stick him on that last play.
You know, you got to make those plays. Mm-hmm. It's the game is over then.
Exactly.
He catches the ball,
the game is over.
Yeah.
You just take three knees.
Yeah, the clock keeps running. But, and then they let the Falcons
dance down the field.
Yeah. And no one touched them. You know, no one put pressure on the quarterback, Kirk Cousins. And no one did anything in terms of trying to stop them. They just said, okay, we're tired. Yeah, you know, we're not going to play anymore, I guess. I don't know. But,
I don't know. Maybe it was Jason Kelce. Maybe he should have stayed on the field.
Maybe. I like Kelce in the pregame show.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I was at that ESPN rally.
You were?
Mm-hmm.
How did it go?
So it went unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was like just being at the game.
Yeah, yeah. So you got them to see the chest pump? And
I got to see the chest pump, yeah, and him singing our favorite song, which I can't sing here.
You can't sing here. No. But it's unique.
It is.
It's unique, yeah.
Exactly. What's really unique is that usually the audience sees what's going on. But for ESPN and a lot of other sports shows, I guess, the audience is behind the talent. So all you're seeing is the back of their heads and their backs. You know, like if you're looking at it from behind, you have to remind whoever's watching it at home, okay, I'm behind Kelce and this dude. And
how do you think Kelce did in the pregame show?
I thought he did well.
What, you were able to hear it?
Yeah, well, it was on a slight delay, so.
Oh, okay.
You know, like I could hear some stuff, but then I couldn't see what they were mouthing.
Yeah, because I watched it. I watched the pregame
right
at home, and I thought he did. He did very well. He was very relaxed.
Exactly.
But later on in the third quarter, when he went up to the booth with Joe Buck and
exactly
Troy Aikman,
mm-hmm.
I think he was a little nervous then. Yeah,
he could have been.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's.
But honestly, I usually keep the broadcast on mute because I can't stand.
Yeah,
the commentary.
You don't like them.
No.
But, well, they're kind of biased, you know, at times.
Kind of.
Yeah. So I understand that. Mm-hmm. The Eagles play the Saints this week, and the Saints are pretty good offensively. You know?
And it's your favorite kind of game, isn't it?
What's that?
1 o'clock in the afternoon.
1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll mm-hmm. watch it. I don't know if I have high hopes for the Eagles.
I don't know. They're going to have to change our minds.
Yeah. Can they come back? Can they bounce back from the adversity of this week?
I don't know, because it's not like the Phillies, where it seems like every time they lose, they bounce right back.
Well, yeah, and the Phillies we're going to talk about, because they have like five or six games.
Yeah, I think it's about 4-3 now.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They're on the verge.
They're on the verge.
They're on the verge. They're on the verge of Red October,
claiming victory out of the jaws of defeat.
Exactly, and I'm hoping that they do it this weekend over in New York.
You're hoping
rub their noses into it, just like how Atlanta did it to us last year.
You wouldn't want them to do it at home, though.
I would love for them to do it at home, but I would like for them to get it done earlier rather than having to wait until like the last day of the season.
Yep. Yep.
That I just can't take that again.
You know what's disappointing about the Eagles for me?
What's that?
What's disappointing is that they took the game away from the Eagles in our own house on Monday Night Football,
mm-hmm.
the biggest night of all time. You know, they were honoring, or they did honor,
mm-hmm.
Nick Foles.
Well, then you know what they had to do, right? They should have had him suit up.
Yeah.
And he would have made that catch instead of Barkley.
Well, you know.
He proved it on the national stage.
Yeah, he could catch. These are the things you have to think about. You know, they're paying these guys a lot of money, and they're mm-hmm. not doing anything. So.
Yep, a lot of the fans are saying it's going to be a long season.
Well, it could be because, I wasn't that impressed with the game down with the Green Bay game
mm-hmm.
down in Brazil. I thought they won. They pulled it out, but, you know, I thought it was...
With Brazil, you know, you had the slippery field, you had the jet lag,
yeah.
you had all these factors.
First game of the year.
Yeah, also the first game for a lot of the people playing.
Right. But here, there's no excuse.
There is no excuse.
You were winning. It's a game you should have won.
Mm-hmm.
The defense didn't show up at the end.
And remember, it's not a game of inches. That's baseball. It's a game of yards.
Yeah, but it's also a game of inches. You know? Just think, had he caught the ball inches.
That's not inches.
From his fingertips, yeah.
Now, you know what that is? That's Nat's eyelashes.
Yeah, well.
Because it did touch his fingertips.
It did.
And it went off of them.
Yeah, it went off of them. So.
Mm-hmm.
But
so we call those Nats eyelashes.
I can't tell you how many Eagles games I attended in person
mm-hmm.
where they lost the game in the last 3 seconds of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Heartbreaking.
Exactly.
It's a heartbreaker when you're in there and you're rooting for your team and they lose. I mean, you've got a lot of angry, dejected people as fans.
And what have you just done?
What's that?
You've just thrown money away.
Well, that too, but, you know.
To be there.
You were winning, and you felt good about the game, and the neurons
mm-hmm.
were going off in your head,
mm-hmm.
and all the chemicals, the joy chemicals about the football game. And then it comes to an end.
That's why a lot of people probably turned it off at 11 o'clock at night. And didn't see the entire game.
And were they surprised?
Absolutely.
Right, this morning. So
I said it before and I say it again. I couldn't stay up for the World Series, and I thought we had it in the bag.
Right. Well, did you watch the debate at all?
I saw parts of it. I was switching back and forth between that and the Phillies. So okay. I missed the quote of the night.
And what was that?
The dogs. The people are eating the dogs, they're eating the cats.
Yeah. Well.
They're eating all the pets.
Yeah. That was cool. That was a good sound bite.
Exactly. Wow, talk about extreme.
Yeah, I mean, the debate was good. I think Harris cleaned his clock. You know,
he did. She did.
I think she was more prepared than him. But
and
I don't
course,
know if it's going to change anything.
The excuse train is, of course, you know, she had the answers on her sheet in front of her. She had a earpiece that was really an earring.
No, they didn't do that. They couldn't do that. That was against the
rules.
That's
why I said it's excuse city.
Yeah, yeah.
As to why he stunk.
And she was in Philadelphia for that debate. She
exactly.
came back to Philadelphia last week with Joe Biden was here.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't here together, but I got caught up in Joe Biden's motorcade. They stopped
traffic.
I was going
to say, you better not say what I thought you were going to say.
No, they stopped traffic and, you know, I was like tied up for like 15 minutes. Traffic wasn't moving in Center City.
Exactly.
When he came through. So that's annoying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all part of the political circus, you
of
know,
course.
That we have here.
Mm-hmm. You have to go through 3 metal detectors before you can actually get in the building.
So will there be another debate? That's the question.
I don't know. It would be interesting to see, but I don't think so.
Do you want to see another debate?
Honestly, I don't think I can stomach it.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And it's not going to change my mind anyway.
Yeah, it won't change your mind. Well, you know, we'll see. We'll see
exactly.
how that goes, you know. I think it's very good. We have a good guest coming up today. Dr. Tim Harris is going to be with us.
Exactly.
He's a molecular biologist.
Exactly.
And
he's going to tell us how they molecularly take an Oreo cookie and take it and marry it with a Coke.
Yeah. They're going to tell you how they're going to do that.
Yeah, apparently that's the new rage now is Oreo Coke.
Well, he's going to be talking about his book, In Pursuit of Unicorns.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an interesting title. Don't
exactly.
You? Yeah. So we'll be talking to him in a few minutes.
Well, you know what you need to get the unicorn, right?
No.
Some big alligators and long-necked geese.
Yeah. Some Humpty
Dumpty. Back Campbells and some chimpanzees, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, you're off the deep end today.
Oh, of course. That's what happens when you go to a live rally.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially in Philadelphia.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm.
So the Phillies, you think, can do it? They can close
I think
it.
They can do it. It's just a matter of when, and I'm hoping it's sooner rather than later.
Yeah, you want them to wrap it up because you know what happened in 1964, right?
Yes, I also remember what happened in 1993.
Right, you remember.
And 2007. You know, 2007, you waited until the last day, and then you get blown out 3 straight.
And that was in 2007?
That's correct.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Of course, nobody remembers that
because
they got swept.
Wow. So it could happen here, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. But hopefully not.
But yeah, you know, 93, we came close, but no cigar.
And with the playoff rules, will they have home field advantage? Or?
Only the top seed has home field advantage throughout.
So only the number one seed?
Only the number one seed.
See, okay. All right.
And only the top 2 seeds get first round byes.
Now, do you think the Phillies are in the running for the number one seed?
I believe so, yes.
You think they are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the way they've been playing in the playoffs the last 2 years, they've proven that they need this first-round bye. They can't win 13 games in a playoff
It's hard.
Round.
It's hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly it's hard if you know,
not everybody's firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, they don't have the pitching.
Mm-mm.
Then they bring up some pitchers from the Little League.
Not Little League.
That's what I heard.
Triple A.
Oh, Triple A. Well, that's the Little League, you know.
No, the Little League was in the other town in Pennsylvania.
Oh, that's in Williamsport. Yeah, I like that. That was good. They had some good pitchers in there.
They did, but they weren't going to break 95 miles an hour.
No, no.
They were lucky to get about 45 or 50 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, I haven't been to a Phillies game all year.
No, you haven't.
And I don't think I'm going to get to see one.
No. You know why, don't you?
No.
Everything is freaking expensive.
Well, that, and I have no interest in seeing baseball, watching baseball live.
You don't want to go for another dollar dog night?
They don't have that anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So.
But I'm pretty sure that a lot of people are complaining enough that they'll bring it back.
They'll bring it back. Maybe they will. Mm-hmm. Maybe they will. Hey, we're going to come right back with our guest, Dr. Tim Harris.
The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
The man in the arena. It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
Okay. When it comes to the father and son team, you gotta listen to Brian and Lee. It's the only way to go. They entertain some of the coolest things from the past to the future to right now. So tune in.
You're listening to the number one father and son team on radio, The Brian and Lee Show.
And it's a real privilege and a pleasure to have on the guest line, Dr. Tim Harris is with us. He's a biologist and biochemist. He started working in the biotech industry almost at his inception. And he's written a book, In Pursuit of Unicorns, about, it's actually a memoir about his years in the biotechnology industry. How are you, Dr. Tim?
I'm very well, thank you for inviting me onto your show.
It's our pleasure. Great to have you with us.
Where are you coming from today?
Well, I'm actually sitting in Nahant, Massachusetts, about 8 miles as the crow flies from Logan Airport. Looking out over Revere and Lynn across the water, and I've just seen the ferry go by.
Wow.
How did you get started, or how did you get interested in biotechnology?
Well, I guess I got interested in biochemistry because my dad was a chemist, and he used to leave journals lying around in the living room at home. And I could pick them up and look at them, and I thought it was pretty interesting what he was interested in. So I went to university and did biochemistry, and then I was looking for things to do when I finished my PhD, and I went to work for a government research institute in the UK, and then the whole recombinant DNA transformation started and happened, and the application of recombinant DNA was the beginnings of biotech, and I joined Celltech, one of the earliest UK-based biotech companies, in 1981. So I was really there almost at the beginning of biotech, and I got interested in it because it was an application of what I'd learned as a student, and I like to apply things to help people, help patients make proteins like insulin and growth hormone. I thought it would be a pretty interesting thing to do. I didn't know then that 50 years or 45 years later, I'd still be doing the same sort of thing. Not personally, but looking after it and making investments in those companies that are doing the same sorts of things now.
How has the industry changed from when you started to now?
I think one of the things that has changed is that the amount of money that can be put to work in the industry from the venture capital community, as well as the investors post IPO, is way larger than it used to be. And so access to capital is a lot easier than it was at the beginning. So that is the biggest change. The technology continues to evolve, of course. There are many more technologies now than there were back in 1978 when there was just really recombinant DNA technology and monoclonal antibodies. But as the book describes, there's a lot of different technologies that have been developed since that time, many of which have been exploited in different companies, which I describe in the book. And I think there'll be more technologies to come. So it's a mixture of the technologies and access to capital that makes the industry evolve in the way that it has.
And I guess the capital that's being put into these technologies, they're hoping to get a nice return on their investment.
Yes, well, they do sometimes. But as you know, with venture capital, it is what it says. It's venture capital. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they get nothing. And when they have a number of investments from a particular fund, the expectation is that at least two or three out of 10 will do well, and maybe two will do okay, and then there'll be five failures. So there's an expectation of failure within the venture community, but you've got to pick some winners from the different funds that you raise from your limited partners.
Well, so, you know, when we think of biotech, we think of, some people think of science fiction because, you know, if you go back, this was all, you know, a kind of a fantasy that we could clone people and we could change DNA and it's no longer science fiction. It's real science.
Yeah, that's true, and in a way, it's just as well. So, I mean, I refer to the COVID-19 vaccine saga, as you know. I mean, within 12 months of the pandemic hitting, there were vaccines available based on protein, DNA, and RNA, the Moderna and BioNTech vaccines in particular. If it hadn't been for some of the technological advances that there have been, many of which were exploited in companies, there would not have been the vaccines available at the speed with which they were available. So in some ways, it's science fiction, but in other ways, you can say it's just as well that it's actually science fact, because what happened is that within a 12-month period, we had vaccines available for the older people who were, some of whom would definitely have died if they hadn't been vaccinated against the virus.
Yeah, you know, I meet some people today that tell me that you know, they don't think it was very safe, that all precautions weren't taken. You know, I couldn't wait to get the vaccine. No. I was, I would have stood in line for it, but I didn't have to do that. But yeah, I mean,
for all you know, you would have gotten sugar water.
Yeah,
I did stand in line for it. I couldn't wait like you. Mm-hmm. I stood in line in Lynn at a school gymnasium in March 2021 mm-hmm. with my wife. We'd just been allowed because our age group got called, mm-hmm. and we went the same day that our age group was allowed to be called and had the first vaccine. I've had about 8 since then.
Oh, yes.
And I keep them up to date. And just recently, I actually had COVID and tested positive for 10 days. Wasn't particularly unwell, fortunately. But it just shows you that the vaccine protects against, you know, serious disease. It doesn't necessarily protect against catching it, but at least it protects against the serious forms of the disease.
Absolutely. And
that was some of the miscommunication in the beginning that, you know, I remember government officials saying, well, if you have the vaccine, you can never get COVID, you know, and that just wasn't true, you know. So there was a lot of misinformation about vaccines, and I think there's still some misinformation about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, and to be honest, I don't think it's deliberate. Some of it is just not knowing, you know.
Yeah.
And as you know, people have a tendency to try to make an explanation when actually the fact of the matter is the answer should be, I don't know. But when they're an expert, they try hard to make an explanation, even though they're pushing it a bit. And the answer is really, we don't quite know yet, but we will find out. And we are finding out. We know that the virus changes a good deal more readily than one expected it to. So, as you know, there have been lots of versions of the vaccine in order to keep up with the virus making changes to the spike protein to which immunity is directed.
Yeah, yes. I'm going to take get my vaccine in a few weeks for the new variant of COVID.
Good. Yes, you definitely should, and people listening should too. Absolutely. Honestly, I think it's a very safe thing to do, and it's safe. Not only is it good for you, but it's good for the people that you interact with.
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah, he wants me to get it. There's no doubt about it. Since I interact with him a lot.
Yeah, that's right. So I kept myself away from people for the 10 days when I was positive. But, you know, there's a tendency not to test as much. But, you know, the looking at the water, the sewage water is a very good way to keep a tab on how much virus is around. And it's been quite prevalent over the summer, both here in Massachusetts and elsewhere, more so than I would have expected, actually. And it doesn't seem to follow this seasonal pattern that everybody expected it to follow. It's just around.
Yeah, my wife had COVID over the summer. And, you know, she asked me if I wanted her to sleep in a different room. And I said, nah, that's okay.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Well, I caught mine from my wife for the same reason.
Oh,
I said,
okay.
Nah, yeah. If I get it, I get it. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to have that attitude, and we can have that attitude because there are vaccines available to people.
Yes.
And the
technology was all there, just waiting. The messenger RNA technology was already there. The lipid nanoparticles that they wrapped the messenger RNA up in, that had all been sorted out, if you like, before the pandemic struck. So it was fortunate that the technologies were available and people moved very quickly, really extremely quickly and very effectively to get the vaccine together, which is a good example of how the technology that makes up biotechnology works. It works fast and people can exploit it quickly. And as I said, provided there's access to capital, we will continue to develop the industry based on the technology and the inventiveness of mostly, not solely the academic community in the US, but largely the academic community in the US. The innovation that occurs here is just enormous. And I think more so than anywhere else. The Europe and the UK have some innovation, but the US is really the place where innovation happens.
So what new things are on the horizon for the future that we might live in? We hear a lot about artificial intelligence, and we hear a lot about How is that? How's artificial intelligence going to change biotech?
Well, I think it is going to. I mean, people misunderstand the fact that artificial intelligence, if you like, is just very large data analytics and new ways of analyzing data and new ways of analyzing very large amounts of data. And several companies are using those technologies already. You can call it artificial intelligence. I think there's a lot of hype around AI with respect to drug discovery. I think people kind of expect that artificial intelligence will not only discover your drug, but it'll also develop your drug, and then you'll have a drug that you can put into people only directly out of your artificial intelligence programs. That's not true. Mm-hmm. It probably won't be true. It's a tool to help you do better experiments. It might speed the process of drug discovery and drug development up, but it won't discover your drugs for you. It's just another tool. And one of the tools you probably are aware of is proteins come in three-dimensional shapes, and there have been some programs recently. A company called DeepMind has evolved programs where you can now predict the three-dimensional structure of almost all proteins, which you couldn't do before very accurately. That is enormously beneficial when you are coming to think about how that protein might interact with another protein, or how a small molecule drug might interact with that protein. So it definitely has a role, and will have a more of a role as time goes by. It definitely will have an influence on biotechnology.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is a tool and that can be used, but I think humans still have to interact with that tool, and there still definitely has to be some human thinking going on.
Oh, no question about that. And not only thinking, but experiments as well.
Oh, yes.
And drug discovery is an experimental science, so you will need to do experiments in cells and in animals, and they are not as predictable as some of the other pieces of the puzzle that you need to create new drugs.
Now, before you said the COVID vaccine was about a 12-month period, with all the new improvements in biotech, how much quicker do you think we could develop another sort of vaccine, not just for COVID, but any kind of vaccine?
Well, I think I tell you what, I was very surprised by how quickly they managed to do it. You know, I've worked in the lab. Most of the experiments that I did don't work the first time. You have to do them a second time. So I was quite surprised by how quickly it all came together. Whether artificial intelligence will speed that process up or not, I don't know. I doubt if it will speed it up that much. I think 12 months was just a fantastic achievement. And it's like setting a running world record. I think it's going to be a while before that world record gets broken.
Mm. I think you're right.
Well, you know, what would we be surprised to hear that biotech companies are working on today?
I think there are a couple of areas that I would keep an eye open for. And one is cancer vaccines. Mm. There's some very interesting work going on in the cancer vaccine space where you don't use the vaccine prophylactically. You use it as a therapeutic vaccine. In other words, you find out what proteins are being expressed by somebody's tumor, and you turn those proteins into a vaccine and then vaccinate that patient against those particular proteins that the tumor is expressing. And if you're fortunate, at least some of those proteins will elicit an immune response. And with a bit of luck, and there is some evidence to say that this happens, you will kill the tumor cells because your T cells and antibodies are recognizing the antigens that are presented by only those tumor cells. It's a kind of personalized approach. It's quite expensive and it's quite infrastructurally demanding. So how many companies take it upon themselves to follow that track, I think we'll have to wait and see. But it's it's an interesting opportunity. And I think we'll hear more about cancer vaccines in the future. The other place where I think we will see some some new drugs is in the what is referred to as CAR T. They're T cells that you take from a patient and you modify them and you put them back into the patient. And those modified T cells not only can kill tumor cells, but you can direct them towards other cells that are responsible for causing autoimmune disease like RA or lupus or multiple sclerosis. So without going into the technical details, that's an area to watch. And also, as you know, maybe CAR T is being used for lymphoma, not a solid tumor, but a liquid tumor. And I think there'll be enough modifications to those T cells available such that we will be able to treat solid tumors with cells taken from a person and manipulated and then put back into the patient. So I think those are two areas where I would keep a BDI, because I think they're exciting and I think new therapies will come from that. And you only have to pick up Nature or Science every week, which I do, and read them and look at the technologies that are being developed. And you kind of let your mind go and think, well, I wonder how you could apply that to helping people with rheumatoid arthritis or cancer or obesity. So there's so many opportunities. And I think the key here is unmet medical need. I think we sometimes forget when you listen to the advertisements on the television, for example, I'm not going to be specific, but you listen to them and you think, well, that disease is cured because they've got this wonderful antibody that seems to do what it needs to do. Well, that's not strictly true. There are patients who don't respond to some of these antibodies. And the real question is, how do you get after them? What is different about them compared to the rest of the population who do respond? And how might we find new things to help them with? So the unmet medical need in some of the common diseases is still there. And you often hear people say, well, multiple sclerosis, kind of a cured disease, there's plenty of drugs out there to treat MS with. But actually, my sister died of MS, so I kind of know. There's a lot of unmet medical need in multiple sclerosis. And so that's where the industry needs to be focusing. And it is focusing there, and both the pharma industry and biotech. But those are the things that we need to be looking for. And that's where the excitement is going to be, those making sure that we can treat those patients who are not yet helped by a number of really important antibodies that make up the drug armamentarium that's available.
So I always ask this question when I see an interesting title. How did you come up with the title of the book?
Ah, right. It's a story, right? So as you know, unicorns are biotech companies or any companies worth over $1 billion. So that's what the quote was. So the unicorns came from that, because I was writing about the industry. Many companies have valuations above $1 billion. And the question was, okay, some of those unicorns exist and some of those unicorns don't exist anymore. They had a market cap of $4 billion or $5 billion, then they disappeared. So there's this mythology piece that's in there as well. So I was thinking about that with one of my kids, and we came up with the idea that maybe we should try to capture unicorns in the title. And then we said, well, what about In Pursuit of Unicorns? Because it was a book about building companies on the back of biotechnology. So it was a pursuit of a kind. So we came up with In Pursuit of Unicorns. And then my editor, a guy called Fintan Steele, who's a very erudite guy, said, oh, there are these wonderful Dutch tapestries which depict unicorn hunts and unicorns in the garden and unicorns being hunted back in the 1580. They're silk-woven tapestries. So not only did we get a wonderful cover for the book, but we got a great title, In Pursuit of Unicorns, A Journey Through 50 Years of Biotechnology. And that journey is not about me. It really isn't. It's me. I'm the raconteur, essentially. I'm talking about the industry which I lived in. There are some personal anecdotes, but I don't want it to be seen as kind of my memoir, because in the bigger scheme of things, I'm not really that important. What is important is the technologies that have made up the up biotech, and the people who've and the people who provided the money to enable these companies to become big companies that make important products to help people with the diseases we were just talking about. So it's an attempt to capture that whole scene from 1976 to really to the present day and all the technologies that make up biotech today, which I think I managed to do. And most of the people who I know who have read it said that it's good in that respect. And as I said, I've tried to make it not too personal, though there are anecdotes, because the anecdotes make it kind of fun to read.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a very good title, and I look forward to reading the book. I'm going to get a copy, and I encourage all our listeners to do the same thing. It sounds like a great book, and I want to thank you for being a guest today on our show, and come on back anytime you'd like to do so.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, and thank you for taking the time to talk to me and your interest in the book. I appreciate it a lot.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much. Come back anytime.
Thank you a lot. Take care.
All right. Thank you. And we're going to be back right after these words.
The man in the arena. It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat.
The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Okay. When it comes to father and son team, you got to listen to Brian and Lee. It's the only way to go. They entertain some of the coolest things from the past to the future to right now. So tune in.
You're listening to the number one father and son team on radio. The Brian and Lee Show.
And we're back.
That was a good interview.
That was.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Yep. I really did enjoy that title about In Pursuit of Unicorns.
Yeah, but now you know why.
Now I know why, yeah. That's why I usually like to ask that question when it's an interesting title.
Yeah.
Like what was going through your mind when you came up with that title.
Okay. Well, you did.
I did.
That's great.
And I'll be asking that again to any future guests who have an interesting title.
Okay. I bought the ordered because you had to pre-order it.
That's right. You don't get to get it on day one.
The iPhone 16.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to get it.
So you're not waiting in line like everybody else anymore.
No, no. You pre-order it. They give you a date to pick it up.
Exactly.
You go to the store and you pick it up.
Yeah, those days of camping out for 3 days is gone.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But this looks interesting. You know, it has AI,
mm-hmm.
what they call Apple Intelligence.
Of course.
Enhanced Siri, which is good.
How enhanced?
Well, the AI is supposed to learn about you. You know, since I'm using the phone, it's going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
And they the things that you order, the things that you want, it'll make suggestions to you. It can organize your photos.
It sounds like the Dot. Remember Alexa?
Oh, yeah. No, this is better than Alexa. I guarantee you that.
I'm sure. What do they call it, Steve?
Yeah, they call it.
As in Steve Jobs?
No, it's Siri. You know. And.
No, the AI, I mean. Do they call it Steve?
No, they call it Siri. Siri is the AI. They just call it Apple Intelligence.
Yeah, exactly, try to differentiate it from the other AI.
Yeah, yeah. But it's supposed to be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to help you. Again, it's a tool, you know. You got to use the tool.
But then again, there's nothing else more interesting new stuff than just that, isn't there?
On the phone?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have a better camera. They actually got a button, like the old cameras.
Oh, really?
That you push
mm-hmm.
to take a photo.
Oh.
Which is cool.
Do they have snap-on lenses?
No, they don't have
that. Or snap-on flashes?
No, but they have, you can change things on the, while you're taking the photo, you can change it. And with filters and backgrounds, you can make a professional professional type of photo.
Now, I think what I saw was an AI-generated picture, but you saw the whole presentation, so tell me if I'm wrong. Are they having a flip phone version of the Apple or the iPhone 16?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay, no. So yeah.
That's a rumor.
Yeah, it's a rumor, and it's an AI-generated picture.
Yeah, no. No, I think Samsung has that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But not Apple.
Not Apple, okay.
So once I get it, you know, I'll play around with it and
exactly
see how much difference it is. Might not be any different.
Do you actually know how to set it up?
Sure. Why, how hard can it be?
Well, there was a time when you had to go to the store and have them set it up.
Yeah, I don't think you need to do that anymore.
No, you really don't. No. All you have to do is go on YouTube and find a video about it.
But they tell you to back everything up to the cloud.
Of course.
I did that.
I have to remember to do that on mine because I'm getting your old one, right?
Yeah, I think so. That's the way it's
That's the way worked. This cycle has gone ever since 2007.
Yeah, that's the way it's worked, you know.
You were the guinea pig for the first iPhone.
Yeah.
Then you said, yeah, it's great. You should get one.
Yeah.
And then the two comes out and you're like, hey, why don't you take my old one?
And every generation since.
Exactly.
Right?
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Tito Jackson passed away. He was a member of the Jackson 5.
The one that nobody remembers.
Dun, dun. Yeah, well, he was like a bass player, a guitar player.
Yeah, he wasn't a vocalist.
Well, he did vocals, too.
Mm-hmm. But Michael did most of the vocals.
But I don't think he was up front, you know, Tito.
No.
He was in the cartoon version of the
Jackson 5. Yeah. For those who don't know, there was a cartoon of the Jackson 5.
Yeah.
It was done by Filmation, I believe.
I think probably. I remember that cartoon.
Yeah.
You probably could go online
mm-hmm.
on YouTube. And
if it's not on YouTube, then definitely check out METV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or ME-Tunes.
You tried the Oreo Coke, right?
I did try the Oreo Coke.
And?
I enjoyed it, but I mean, it didn't really knock my socks off.
Right. You did.
You, on the other hand.
Didn't like it.
Didn't like it.
No, no.
And apparently I'm seeing a lot of people who are sticking their tongue out and putting their thumbs down.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it. I thought it had an odd taste to it.
An aftertaste.
What is it with trying to get different flavors into Coke? You know,
it all started in 1985 with something called New Coke.
Yeah, I don't like that. You know, I didn't like that either. No, I think give me an Oreo cookie. Yeah. I'll eat the Oreo, then take a swig of Coke.
Well, they wanted to try to kill one of the steps.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's wrong with that?
I've never seen it in stores, but apparently Pepsi has Peep soda.
I don't like that either.
Well, you don't like Peeps anyway.
No. No, I don't want that.
You don't want that?
No, I don't want it. Keep cookies separate from
and marshmallows.
Soda. Yeah. Keep it separate from my soda. I'll drink a Coke. I'll eat an Oreo, but don't mix them into the soda.
Well, I did buy the reverse of it. I bought the Coca-Cola Oreos. I haven't tried them yet.
You liked it?
I don't know. I like the idea.
Oh, the cookie. The actual cookie.
Yeah, it's a Oreo cookie with Pop Rocks.
I don't know.
And red cream.
I don't know. I don't know if I like that. Maybe.
I don't know. Didn't you say you liked the white chocolate with Pop Rocks for 4th of July?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, that was all right. Why not?
Yeah, anything with Pop Rocks usually should be a winner. As long as you don't have it with soda.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the whole thing. It's going to explode your stomach. Isn't that the way it went, that rumor back in the day? Boomer?
What's that?
Hmm?
What's that?
Boomer.
Yeah.
Isn't that right? You mix Pop Rocks and soda, your stomach explodes?
That's what they said.
Yeah, exactly.
That really didn't happen that way.
Okay, Boomer.
Yeah. That was one of the things.
Exactly. Go back to the Commodore 64.
That's right. That's right. You're just not trying hard enough.
No, I'm not trying hard enough. Exactly.
Oh, man. So.
Okay. So the Feds talked the other day. Did they lower the inflation rate or try
yes.
to?
Yes, they're lowering the inflation. Not the inflation rate, the interest rate.
The interest rate, yeah.
That you pay for.
For goods and services.
Treasury bills. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're lowering that rate by some percentage points. And
yeah, it's like a tenth of a percentage point or whatever, probably.
But inflation's still high. I mean, you know.
Well, sure it is. But, I mean, you know, you notice that the gas is going lower because it's election time.
Yeah, and the winter blend, they have a new winter blend that comes out. I also think that China is not buying as much gasoline because their economy's tanking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't need as much gasoline.
Yeah. So what do you do when they're down?
What?
Kick them.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what they say about blackjack. When the dealer's down, you kick him.
You kick him. That's right. But no, I think inflation still, you know, high prices still going to be around for some time. You know, as long as the government keeps printing money,
mm-hmm.
that's what causes inflation, people.
Yeah.
You know, and as long as they're going to do it, then you're going to have higher prices.
Exactly.
But I have a recommendation.
What's the recommendation?
Of how to avoid paying higher prices. Eat less. Don't buy as much food. Yeah, that works. Come on.
Why don't you listen to Chick-fil-A?
I'm trying.
Eat more chicken.
No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. You know, eat less. Lose some weight. And you won't spend as much money on things.
The problem is people are going to still spend money on those weight loss gimmicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
true.
They're still going to throw their money away.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I think that's a good solution for everybody.
You think?
Yeah.
So what would you ration it to? About one bottle of water a day?
Yeah. And a cookie, Oreo cookie.
Oh, of course, a real Oreo cookie.
That's right.
Not a Coke.
Yeah. So we're going to be back next week with another great show, another great guest.
Mm-hmm.
We will, be doing it again.
Be doing it again. This is the end of September next week.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Just flew by, you know.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy stuff, huh?
Absolutely crazy stuff. Maybe the Eagles will get it together by then.
Well, it's going to be a long season.
Yes, it is.
So we'll see.
A long and treacherous season.
Yeah.
If that's even a word.
Colin, thank you for engineering the program today.
And remember, folks. Yep. That's you. That's your line.
Oh, that's my line.
And remember, folks.
Be strong. Stay strong.
The Brian and Lee Show is a BLS production.